Bill's car.
Well, last Saturday in Chicago, the grade 3 $200,000 60 sales handicap was won by She's All In, a 5-year-old mare by Include. Tough and durable, She's All In has won 6 stakes and 4 starts this year, and she has finished 1, 2, 3 in all 4, including a second in the grade 3 Azari going into the 60 sales. She's earned over $590,000. Include is also the sire this year of Include Me Out, winner of the Grade 1 Santa Margarita and the Grade 2 La Canada, Park Stakes winner Obiston Pauper, 5 others that have placed in stakes, among them the Grade 1 placed Open Water. To date, Include has sired 5 Grade 1 stakes winners plus 8 others which have placed in Grade 1 stakes. That's 13 Grade 1 stakes horses, 2 this year. The Includes compete at the highest level. Remember that the next time you see an Include walk into the sales ring. Include, a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $1,659,000, is a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners, and he's a son of champion sire Broad Brush. Stands for 12,500 live foal with possible breeding incentives available at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Okay.
Good morning, everyone, and we are here at the Thoroughbred Center in the Clocker Stand, as usual, every Saturday morning from 10 until noon.
And it's turned out to be beautiful.
Beautiful day, but it's chilly.
Yeah, but what a great day for cross country at Rolex.
Yeah, there were some people up here on the Clocker Stand from Rolex just a little bit earlier today. Nice couple of ladies, and an old friend of mine, Larry Richardson, was showing them around.
Is that right? Well, the girl, the young girl that took my filly and when she couldn't race and took her to Michigan, she and her mom are here.
Oh.
And I think a friend. For Rolex.
Uh-huh.
I saw it on Facebook this morning. So they're in town. So they're out there.
All righty.
Yeah. That's fun.
There's a gentleman in here going to work a quarter horse, an eighth of a mile. Let me know when you get close, and I'll get up and clock him for you.
He's backing up.
Yeah, okay.
Backing up. Let me know.
Okay.
That, sometimes hard to clock. You going to break off the eighth pole?
That's tough.
Yeah. Well, I think he's going to come.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. But it's I was so worried about rain and slippery
Yeah, it looks like cross country. Looks like all the rain went east of us.
It did.
Yeah. Whoops. What'd you do?
I just pushed on this pan and a piece of it fell off.
Broke one of my pans.
Yeah, that's what I did. I just broke one of your pans.
It's a good start. Well, what are we going to do today so I'd sit around here and shoot the bull?
That's what this is. Wall to wall, honey. Come on.
Phil Needham is going to come by with his partner, Benna Halecki, and they are the breeders, along with Phil's wife, Judy, who's not here today. But anyway, they're going to stop by the top of the hour. They're the breeders of Doolahan, of course, who won the Bluegrass Stakes and is going into the Kentucky Derby. And let's see, what else? That horse raised over at Bonaterra Farm, by the way. Our good friend, Millie Foyon, raised that farm. Everybody loves Millie.
Oh, she's funny. She's fun, too. Nice girl.
She's got the dam over there for the Needhams and Ms. Jalecki, and that, of course, she's already produced a Derby winner in Mind That Bird, and now she's got a Bluegrass winner. Wouldn't be something. I guess it'd be I think somebody's researched it already. I don't think there's ever been a broodmare produced 2 Kentucky Derby winners.
Really?
And there has been a Belmont Stakes winner, you know.
Okay, I'm going to go clock this.
You want me to, Jackie? Well, you can do some announcements while I clock it.
Huh?
Where are you? Where is it?
In the turn.
Okay. Sit down, Jackie, and do something. I'll get up and clock it for him.
Okay.
Eight poles hard to catch sometimes.
Yeah. Quick. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. What was I? Oh, I know. Today at 5 o'clock, after Rolex Cross Country, there's going to be a thing called Thoroughbreds for All, and it's going to be at Westwind Farm. Now, they're going to have drinks, dinner, and then people are showing up, like Bruce Davidson, Kathy Wieshoff, Dorothy Combs Kroll and Dr. Stephen Alday. And what they are going to do is they are going to discuss how brilliantly thoroughbreds perform as three-day horses. So, oh, and Chris McCarron and the kids from the riding school are going to be out there, too. Now, Westwind Farm, 4787 Haley Road. It's not far. You people with, what do you call that stuff where you find addresses, Holly, on your phone? You know, you plug in something and it takes you there?
Oh, just MapQuest.
Okay. It's Westwind Farm, 4787 Haley, H-A-L-E-Y Road in Lexington.
All right. You give it back to me?
Yes.
Those quarter horses, when they break off the at the eighth pole, which I'm an eighth of a mile away from the thing down here on the finish line.
I know.
They're hard to clock.
Right.
Now, we had it set up. When they break out of the gate, it's easy. You watch the gates open, and we've got a pole for 220 yards. And I guess we've got maybe 15, 20 quarter horses in training out here. We won one last night. Matt Frazier won one last night at a quarter horse race up at Indiana Downs.
Good.
Yeah, so. Well, I might as well plug that while I'm at it, hadn't I?
Yes.
All right.
And a winner at Keeneland?
Well, yeah. Okay. So let's see. We've had 36 winners so far this month, 9 since last week's show. And last night at Mountaineer, John Langemeyer saddled the winner. Then Matt Frazier, of course, had the quarter horse up at Indiana Downs. And Mike Cameron saddled Tell a Little Secret.
To win at
Churchill Downs. That was a pretty
race. No, at Keeneland.
I don't know why in the hell
I know, we were down. Afraid. We were screaming at the TV. Hurry up, keep going. You know how you do.
Yeah, the filly's a one-run filly, and I thought that she was laying too close early, but she won easy.
She did.
All right, who else since last week's show? Saddle winners. Luis Jurado.
Good job, Ursel.
Well... He's probably going to come down and punch me in the nose.
He
saddled one. Dan Pitts, Josh Sines, Tommy Mills, Ted Lucas, Tommy Short, and Paul Garcia. And then, of course, last night, Mike Cameron, Matt Frazier, and John Langemeyer. So we're having a pretty good month. And finishing up what we were going to do today, I'm assuming Dr. Doug Byers and Michael Bloin will be by. They usually are. And Steve Moody is back in action, bless his heart. He's going to give us the winner of the Derby Trial Stakes, which is being run up at Churchill Downs today. I didn't say Keeneland, I said at Churchill. I do know the difference.
Just, one for two.
I was just
good.
About 65 miles off. What are you talking about?
Not a problem.
Sometimes my mouth works and my brain doesn't.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Most of the time, you think, I know. Let's, of course, Steve does the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and that's published by BRIS, Bloodstock Research Information Services, which is a wonderful outfit. I'm going to take a look. I was going to last week a look at Cole Town, because he was one of the two horses that had, early on that had won the first two. Three-year-olds to win the Bluegrass Stakes that went on and became champions later on in their careers. And I looked at one of them, Abimelech, and the other one is Cole Town, and I saw him win that race.
Ah.
So, anyway, and I thought sure he was going to win the Derby, but his stablemate beat him. Citation. That's the last winner I had in the Derby. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
1948. I like Cole Town that day.
an entry.
Yeah, we'll read a little Joe Palmer if we got a shot. And, of course, Jackie's announcements. And speaking of little buddies of mine, Adam Bowman, who's been riding up at Philadelphia, he's got his tack air. Somebody sent him over to Penn National.
Now, he's a graduate of Chris McCarron's jockey school up there.
Yeah, right. And he won a race up there. And I pulled a chart on it. It's a $4,000 claimer. Riding at the top level now. Anyway, but I wish that kid would either move his tack somewhere else. Of course, he's from Philadelphia. Or would get him maybe a better agent or something, because the kid can ride.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Now, he won by length. But it says, Galloping Thunder, which is the name of the horse, not... Yeah.
Yeah.
Was unhurried, stayed close to the inside around the turn. Boy knows where the pole is, where the closest way home is now.
Yeah.
Steadied while trying to split foals into the stretch. Came between horses to vie for command into the final furlong and prevailed. And he paid $86, $38.80, and $12.60.
And, his stuff always pays that. He's a real good rider.
Well, he rides...
He's real strong.
Yeah, he's a good... And what a good kid.
Just about picks him up and brings him home.
He's a really good kid.
That was supposed to be Lafitte Pinkai's big advantage, was that he was so strong and he could just pick him up.
Yeah.
What?
Adam only weighs 90 pounds,
but he lives at the gym.
I asked him one day what he weighed, and he said 92 pounds soaking wet. And I said, now, wait a minute. You can't ride soaking wet. No. What do you do with tack? He says 94.
Oh, that's funny.
But he is strong as a bull.
Yeah, gym rat. Spends all his time at the gym.
All right, Jackie. Well, let me do a commercial, and we'll get back to you.
Okay.
Boy, we BS'd our way through that segment, didn't we? Well, April 20th, Keeneland, the Grade 3 Double Dog Dare Stakes, was won by Pack Attack. She's by Pulpit. The Double Dog Dare was Pack Attack's first start this year, and it increased her earnings to over $786,000. She won the Grade 3 Arlington Matron last year and ended the year by placing in three consecutive Grade 1 stakes, the Personal Ensign at Saratoga, the Spinster at Keeneland, and the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic, because that was at Churchill. She's a typical Pulpit, who, in addition to annually ranking among the nation's leading sires, both on the racetrack and in the sales arena, is a sire of sires. Now, two of Pulpit's sons stand at Claiborne Farm. The first foals by the multiple graded stakes winner Parading are yearlings. Parading is out of a daughter of Stormcat and classic winner and millionaire My Flag. And the next dam is the Great Personal Ensign. Stroll won Grade 1 stakes and sired six stakes winners, two graded stakes winners, including a champion filly in Canada, then was sent to Europe. Now, his first foals since his return to the USA are yearlings, and he was recently named a value sire by Bill Oppenheim. Pulpit stands for $50,000, Parading for $3,500, and Stroll for $5,000 at Claiborne Farm. Fees are due when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Well, the Bob and Johns are having no trouble finding the winner's circle. He has 27 winners in his first crop, including a stakes winner and another to place in stakes. And they're winning at the major tracks, Aqueduct and Woodbine and Oaklawn, Santa Anita and Gulfstream, the Fairgrounds, Monmouth Park, Hawthorne, Golden Gate, Calder, Parks. That's where the purses are good. So if you're looking for a runner, look to Bob and John, a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $996,000 by Seeking a Goal out of the Graded Stakes Winner Minister's Melody by Deputy Minister, and he stands at Pin Oak Stud for 7,500 live foal. Also at Pin Oak are the stallions Broken Vow, the sire of six 2012 stakes winners, including Lonesome Street, winner April 14 of the Grade 2 Commonwealth Stakes at Keeneland. Cowboy Cowell, a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire by Giants Causeway, his first foals are yearlings. And Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic, the sire of 59 stakes winners and more than 100 stakes horses to date. Inquiries at Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens. And see the website at pinoakstud.com. All right, Jackie.
Okay.
You're just introduced by Arthur Hancock there.
Oh, thanks, Arthur.
He's handed, hidden down the highway with tears in both eyes, it says.
I know. Why didn't he say, tears are in my eyes? It said, tears are in both eyes.
I guess because he's got two. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I always wondered about that.
Well, we'll
I don't know many one-eyed criers, Arthur, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to see two. No, that says May. Hold on. Daggone it. I was looking. I'm sure that the raining thing at the horse park goes tomorrow. And yeah, Thursday, Saturday and Sunday.
Do you know, Holly, when the raining is?
No, it's today and tomorrow.
Today and tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Tomorrow, yes. Okay, now, of course, today is cross-country day at the horse park for the Rolex. And tomorrow is stadium jumping. So I'm just so tickled they started already. I'm just so pleased that it's not wet and rainy and slippery because that's spooky. I you don't want to watch that. Those things go barreling down there and jumping and sliding in the mud. Oh, too scary. Okay. Now, High Hope Steeplechase is Sunday, May 20th at the Horse Park. The Terrier races are at noon. Post time is 1:45. This year they are having the, first annual sports women's challenge. That is, the old sportsman's challenge is now female, and, it's a breast cancer awareness, something or another, but they're not doing professional horses or jockeys. They're looking for people that fox hunt and that kind of stuff. And cross country horses, they fit too. It's a mile, and, that's the first of that. Now they have, first race is the Bill O'Neill and David Mullins maiden claimer. So they've named that after two of, how nice. Hill's bringing his horse up here. Maybe the horse will have something entertaining to say.
That's Rudyard Kay.
Rudyard Kay.
He's by Kipling.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, isn't that right?
That's a good name. Okay, and of course.
I'll go see what he wants.
Okay.
I don't Friends think he's working this morning.
I don't know. He's been on the track. I saw him before. Second race, Friends of High Hope and a starter allowance. And third race, Sport of Kings Maiden Hurdle. And the fourth is the J. Trump Timber Race. The fifth race is a local flat race, and that will be with Chris McCarron's Jockey School. And they're going to be a parade of the Woodford Hounds, which is just fun. You can see how well trained these hounds are because
Speaking of well trained.
Oh.
Hill Parker's horses are the best trained horses.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're so docile.
They're like ponies. And they run well, too. Yeah, well, he's good.
Yeah,
he's an old A pony clubber, you know.
Yeah, he won with that. He's just bringing him back. He won with him last year.
Yeah.
It's the only horse he has now.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's in the real estate business.
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I was talking about, the Parade of the Hounds. Take these hounds down the race course backwards where everybody tailgates, and there's fried chicken, and there's steak, and God only knows what everybody's grilling, and those hounds don't go over there and attack anybody for the food. I mean, they've got them really well trained. I think that's
probably better than the people.
Better than the people. Well, that's the truth. Now, they're going to have a meeting Wednesday, May 2nd, 6:30 to 7:30. And I think they are having meetings now up at CKRH. But if you can help, just show up and help them. It's a fun day. You get in for free. And you get maybe they'll give you a golf cart if you're doing a good enough job. They used to give me one. Jessica Oldham Stiff.
And you were dangerous.
And I was dangerous.
Because they always gave you something to drink, too.
I know. The nice people, the tailgate people. Here, honey, have a glass of champagne. Thanks.
You run around there, ran over three or four old ladies.
Yeah, well, nobody missed them. I mean, that was okay. They were in bad shape in the first place. So, what the hey. Let's see. Preferred tailgate, if you have one. People are waiting for spots. So you got to turn your money in pretty quick if you want to keep your preferred tailgate. Jessica Oldham Stith is in charge, 967-9444. Or you can just highhopesteeplechase.com, or you can just call the horse park and tell them who you want to speak to. they have the posters here. So they want to get out posters and put them up different places on the side of the road and everything. Something loose? Oh, okay. We thought we had a loose horse, but we don't. James Nicholson, who was here, was it last week? I can't remember. I think so.
Week four last.
He has written a book, The Kentucky Derby, full of interesting facts. He is going to, remember we asked him if he was going to Joseph Beth? Well, he will be there tomorrow at 2 o'clock to sign books. So.
That's Joe Brown's son.
Yes, Joe Brown's son, James.
And John and Nick are his uncles.
Yes. Okay.
You got a little pedigree there.
Your pedigree. Ursula's a pedigree kind of guy. That means the dam doesn't count, only the sire line. I know where I fit in the scheme of things. Thank you. Okay, Valley High Show Stable, that's my friend Joyce Brinsfield. She's great. They are having an open house Friday, May 4th at 6:30. It's on Pinkert Pike in Versailles. You can't miss it. I may take Betsy to this. It starts at 6:30 if the weather's nice. They're going to talk about hunters and jumpers and a driving demonstration and all that kind of fun stuff. So, you know, it'd be a nice low-key thing. I might go down there myself, seeing as how it's free. And Kathy Smock, a friend of mine, is going to drive a pair of driving ponies, give people rides. Now, would Betsy love that or what? That'd be a good time. So that's Friday, May 4th, 6:30. Pinkard, go down, get on the Bluegrass Parkway, turn exit 30. The route number's 33. Get off there, turn left, and go down to a fork in the road and turn left again, and then you'll see Valley High. There will be wagering out here at the Thoroughbred Center in the big building on just, Derby
yes,
and Oaks.
Not right now.
Not right now,
well,
but
wait
Derby.
A minute, wait a minute. Are they still running Keeneland?
No.
No. Oh, no.
Derby and Oaks.
Derby and Oaks Day, yeah.
So it's in the main building. If you don't want to fight the crowd that will be at Keeneland, because a lot of people go to Keeneland. It's huge to watch the Derby. It's one big Derby party. As I said, April 27th and 28th is the Reigning Cup. I think it's over. Anyway, Rolex goes on today and tomorrow. Cross Country Schooling Day is coming up May 9th. And Kentucky Spring Horse Show May 9th through the 13th. If you want to learn how to drive a horse, you can go out and take lessons on May 12th. And they're giving... Here's something for you, Michael. Adult beginning English riding lessons. You, too, can learn to ride.
Get
some sad old horse and aggravated to death.
I'd love to ride Gulch, but
Michael Blowing is here blowing.
Michael here, yes. Good name, isn't it? Okay.
Nice.
Boy, I never thought about that name.
Yeah, I'll bet you haven't.
You're wearing your newer
hat. I'll bet you
today.
Haven't. Yeah, they just arrived in the mail.
Don't you talk about me from 1958 now. Newer goes back... Yeah. To 1951.
Well, I wanted to wear a hat from a horse you would recognize.
Why does it have...
Oh, jeez. What a cheap job.
It says newer, but then under it says N 38 point something and W 84 point. What's those letters?
Those are coordinates from where it was reburied at Old Friends.
That's Old Friends coordinates. Mm-hmm. That's as good as that target.
Why in hell did you just tell him it's over on Route 62?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have to ask Gary. These Noor hats were sent to us by Gary Park, whose father trained Noor.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good-looking hat.
Yeah, you can have it. It's my gift to you.
He was a good hat. Good, mm-hmm. Good hat. A good horse.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He caught
good hat, good horse. This is our motto.
He caught Citation when Citation was over the hill, you know.
Yeah, I beat him a few times, though. Beat him three times.
Yeah, three in a row.
Yeah, there was weights and all that stuff.
No, it wasn't so much the weights.
Yeah.
He ended up beating him at equal weights.
Yeah.
But, you know, Citation did not race in 1950.
Yeah.
And, you see, 40, when did he win a Derby? 48? 49.
I think so. I don't have my glass with me. Right. Yeah. I need my Derby glass.
Excuse me. He did not race in 1949, and he broke down, basically, and they got him back. When they wanted to win $1 million with him, be the first millionaire, you know, so they sent him out on the coast. And it took him a long time to do it because of Noor.
Yeah. But he finally did it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Noor was a good horse.
Very nice.
He went to stud here. You know. Charlie Caney had him.
Really?
Yeah. Over on the corner of...
It's a beautiful horse.
Over on the corner of Newtown Pike and Ironworks. And I can't remember the name of the place, but right across from the Presbyterian Church there.
You know, Milt Toby, he won that special literary award that the late Tony Ryan, does over at Castleton Lyons, the book of the year. The $10,000 check.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For his book on Dancer's Image, and the book he's working on now is a book about Noor.
Oh, well, good. We'll have him on. We had him on with the Dancer's Image.
Yeah, well, they made the check out to him the other night, $10,000.
Well, that's great. Well,
that's one of the great events. You should go to that.
Well, congratulations.
I know it's a little late for you. It starts at 5. But they had free beer and great hors d'oeuvres in the Holly Hill Inn. I'm telling you, it was fabulous. But, I mean, really, it was a great group. Ned Bonney was there and, you know, Gary Bazance and a lot of other really interesting people. Ed Bowen. There was a lot of nice people there. Yeah. Diane, my wife.
Yeah. And you were there, I assume.
Oh, yeah. I was there. Free eats.
What else?
That was it. We had a great time, and Milt won that book award, which
is
really
nice.
Well,
I'm glad he did. I've known Milt. Milt used to work for Bloodhouse. He's a lawyer, you know.
Yeah, he's done a lot of things.
I've had him on for two books. He wrote one about equine law.
That's right.
And I had him on, and then he wrote the one about
Dancer's Image.
Mm-hmm. Which you had to be a lawyer to understand that.
No, you didn't. It was very clear to everyone else what this book is about.
On that little knock, I'm going to take a break. Well, Mizzen Mast having another solid year at stud. Ultimate Eagle has won the Grade 2 Stroop Stakes after winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby and the Grade 2 Oak Tree Derby in 2011. He is one of three Grade 1 Stakes winners by Mizzen Mast. Ms. Direction has already won three stakes in 2012, including the Grade 3 Monrovia, after winning a placing in four stakes last year, including the Grade 2 Raven Run at Keeneland and the Grade 2 San Clemente. She is one of the top distaffers on the West Coast. Now, the crack three-year-old, Lord Sinclair, has won stakes in France. In fact, Mizzen Mast is well-known in Europe, where he's been represented by several major stakes winners. To date, Mizzen Mast is the sire of four 2012 stakes winners, two others to place in stakes, and there's one thing you can depend on. There's always another Mizzen Mast on the way to the winner's circle. Mizzen Mast, a Grade 1 stakes winner and a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners, offers an outcross to Northern Dancer and Mr. Prospector Lion Mares for 12,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. Home also the young Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense. Inquiries at Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. My good friend Tom Biederman, I think he got that place sold down in, it's going on this morning. They're selling the place down in Carlisle.
Oh, wow, he'll be busy.
Yeah, I think your mic's off. Yeah, they're selling it right now. But they're going to sell all the furniture and everything afterwards, so people ought to get down there. Tom, of course, is the proprietor of Biederman Brokerage. Dot com. That's his website, Biederman Brokerage.com. And here's that absolute auction that's going on right now. It's 556 acres. It's been sold in two tracks. And household antiques and furnishings are going to be sold probably afterwards. So you got time to get down there, as a matter of fact. And it is in Carlisle, Kentucky. I'm trying to see if they've got a name of the farm. Eagle Valley, I believe they call it now.
Yes, it's Eagle Valley.
EagleValley.farm. And Jackie, want to look at, you know some of these places right now. They just sold a place on the corner of, another place is just sold, and this one they sold privately, is on the corner of Greenwich and Harp Ennis.
That's gorgeous.
And it's a gorgeous place. I can't say who bought it, but a friend of ours bought it.
Yeah. Sale pending or whatever.
Yeah.
Contract let or whatever.
I'll give you a clue. He's an Irishman. There ain't been about 20,000 of them.
Yeah, that really.
It down.
Okay. So today is the auction at 10:30 of 558 acres.
I just did that.
Oh, you did that one?
Yes.
And afterwards is the entire household of antiques and furnishings.
It's getting a little redundant.
Did you say that?
Oh, no, okay. She accuses me of not paying attention to her.
Okay, May 12th then. Old Cynthiana Road up in Barry, Kentucky is 104 acres. Barry's a little bit hilly, but it's beautiful. We've been up to Barry. Well, it's on the north side of Cynthiana, just up the road a ways. And that will be at 10:30. It's, I said, at 53532 Old Cynthiana Road. So that's the road that runs parallel to 27.
It gets a little hilly up there now.
Which is the new. Well, see, this one isn't. This one isn't. Look at the picture. That's not hilly.
Wonder where they found that flat spot.
Oh, my God. Give me that back and behave yourself. Then, what's...
corn with a shotgun.
I'll tell you what. Oh, geez. There's a reduction in the price of the one at 700 DeLong Road, 12 plus minus acres with a beautiful house. This is very fancy. It's on DeLong, minutes from downtown Lexington or Hamburg. It's out that way. And there's this stunning house on Pisgah. Look at that. That's a steal. 28 acres. Look at that.
It's surrounded by Windstar, too. It's beautiful.
Yeah. You that's one of those that it's like Homewood and...
Oh, really? Federal?
Federal with columns. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They built a whole bunch of them around 1850 around here. Sunnyside is one. What you call it? Brothers out toward Midway have got one.
The Knuckles?
Knuckles House is one.
Towards Midway. Hell, they're right in Midway.
Okay, they're in Midway. It's gorgeous. It's $1.9 million. Isn't that a beautiful house? I'll hold it up to the microphone so you can see it better.
Getting that website now.
Now, wait a minute. There's one next door.
Come on, dude. Just paying for a minute.
The one next door has been reduced. Listen. Fox's place next door has been reduced. 37-acre training facilities, use of the track here.
Okay.
www.breedermanbrokerage.com.
And Wayne Mogie's got horses over there, so he can come with it.
Oh, you get Wayne with it. I wonder if Wayne knows
He's
that.
He's got some cute sisters. I don't know if they throw them in or not. Well, anyway, Noble Causeway was on the board of the Grade 1 Florida Derby. The Grade 1 Suburban and the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Handicap, the Grade 3 Ben Ally Handicap, and the Grade 2 Skipaway. In fact, he was on the board in 13 of his 18 starts. Now his first foals are racing, and he has 12 winners, 10 others at a place, and they're just sitting on wins. 3 stakes horses and a multiple stakes winner. Like their sire, the Noble Causeways are bringing home checks with regularity. Noble Causeway sold as a yearling for $1,150,000. He's a grand-looking horse. He's the son of champion sire Giants Causeway, out of the hard-hitting race mare Mimi's Golden Girl by Seeking the Goal. This is the female family of grade one stakes winner. You got grade 12 stakes winner here, Jackie. Grade 1 stakes winner, Classy Kathy. His second dam, Big Brown's grade 1 sire Boundary, and a host of other top runners. Noble Causeway stands for $5,000. You pay it when the foal stands and nurses at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com, and for more info, call the farm, 252-3770, and ask either for Pope or Phil Hager or Robert Keck. Michael brought his own racing form today. Wonder of wonders.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm ready to go.
You're going to give us a loser.
I paid for it at the Midway Market in cold, hard American cash.
Did you?
Yep.
I think he hangs out at these intersections with a sign that says, racing form needed.
Yeah, really. We'll eat for racing form, isn't that?
Yeah. We'll work for racing form.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No.
No.
No. Work.
Doc
Are you
said
kidding?
No.
Just the word makes me break out in a cold sweat. I went down to Stanford the other night and got to give a talk to the Chamber of Commerce banquet, 300 people.
That's all of Stanford, isn't it, 300 people?
I don't know, but it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And the people were really nice.
Now, we're talking about Stanford, Kentucky, not the university in Palo Alto.
No, nor okay. Stanford, Connecticut, okay. Nor, you know. No, Stanford, Kentucky. Beautiful place. And this is, so I got to talk. Diane said, keep it short. They all said, keep it short, keep it funny. I tried. I gave my best shot. I don't think so. It didn't work out that well. But people seemed to enjoy themselves, and I had a great time. And they donated $500 to old friends, and I won the raffle and got a weed eater.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Gas-powered weed eater.
Wow.
Yeah, be delivered the next day or two.
Did they pay you mileage to come down there?
They gave the $500 donation to old friends.
Oh, okay.
That was very generous.
No matters.
No.
Oh, well. Can't have everything.
But on the way down, I stopped in this liquor place and got some moonshine with cherries in it. That's fabulous.
Moonshine with cherries?
Yeah. The cherries are unbelievable. You know, you kind of eat them one at a time because you eat too many of them.
I bet they're shriveled.
You can't drive.
I bet they're shriveled.
No, no, they're nice and plump and filled with all this great
You'd
stuff.
You'd think all that alcohol would shrivel them up.
No, I'll bring some in. You can try one next week. I'll bring it in there.
Yeah. I think I'll pass on that.
Yeah.
Let's
see, what else? Oh, we've got our big events coming up. Next, a week from tomorrow, is our homecoming at the farm. That starts at 4 o'clock. It's $25. Tommy Walters is providing the food. We got bands and a lot of great auction items.
Is that the barbecue?
Mm-hmm.
Tommy, oh, that's good barbecue.
It's very good.
Ooh, yeah.
It comes with the price of admission along with beer.
Can you carry it home some home?
For yeah, sure. He's got takeout.
All right.
Yeah, he's got takeout. Ursula's going to weigh it out. He wants to make sure he gets his $25.
Damn right.
You know, let's see. This beer is probably worth a buck and a half. I'll have three of these. let me see. Three times $1.50. That's $4.50.
Is the beer free?
Huh?
Is the beer free?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm in front.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. $25 for the beer, the barbecue.
See you there.
Yeah, right. Doc's coming. He's eyes lit up, too.
And then on Thursday, we have Ferdinand's Ball, which is our big, big high-end event at the Fraser History Museum in Louisville, and that's going really, really well.
A lot of bowl going on there.
We have one of the Housewives of Beverly Hills coming.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one?
Dahani Jones. I don't know. One of them.
One of them?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen
the most popular one. I don't know. I've never seen the show either, but they're very popular, and ticket sales went way up when we announced it.
Is that right?
Yeah. Dahani Jones, who now makes bow ties, used to play for the Cincinnati Bengals, and he'll be there. And we'll have a lot of Kent DeSormo's coming, and some of the other jockeys will be there.
Yeah.
And we had a nice visit this week with Julian Le Perroux, who came to the farm to see Ball 4.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he brought his little. He's engaged to be married. This is our little news item.
I'd heard that.
Well, I can confirm this right here on the news program that everybody listens to get the latest gossip in Kentucky.
That's funny. I read it in a raisin form.
Well, do you remember who she is?
No, I don't know.
Well, she's Mike Mitchell's daughter.
Okay.
The trainer from California.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's very nice.
I don't know him either.
And they came and they just, I'm sure they're brokenhearted.
All right.
That you don't know who they are.
Well, I'm sure it's mutual, too.
Yeah, really. But he was great. And I love the way he sits on a horse. He won the jockey title again. And he signed some pictures of Ball 4 that are available in our fabulous gift shop.
Before
he goes to New York. What else? Oh, I'm getting this fabulous horse back, a horse named Keno Quick that nobody ever heard of. But if you got a minute, I can tell you the whole story. You might want to do a couple ads because this might take a while.
Okay. No, go ahead.
All right. It's a wonderful horse named Keno Quick. Years ago when I was up at Suffolk Downs, I had a horse named Fly McGrew who couldn't win a race. And I was doing a story on Monty Roberts. So I dragged Monty Roberts up to Rockingham Park to look at my horse and decide why he didn't want to race. Well, Monty couldn't figure out why he didn't want to race, but he did agree with the conclusion. He said, "You got to get him away from the track." He says, "He's nuts. He hates this place." I said, "Okay, fine." So we walked over to another horse. I got a call at the same time. They said, "There's a horse available for $1,000. The guy left him there. Now, let's flash back 2 weeks. A guy named Al comes up from Oklahoma. He's got a wife, a stepdaughter, a trailer, a barbecue, and a horse. Well, wife has a job in the track kitchen. The daughter has a job as a groom, and he has a job as an exercise rider. Life is good. Well, apparently she got into some kind of conversation after they'd been there for a few days with a guy in the track kitchen who Al took an immediate disliking to and punched him in the nose. Al went to jail for assault. Now, the wife decides he's getting a little dangerous, so she sells us the horse. No, they abandon the horse in a stall. Then she takes the barbecue, the trailer, and the stepdaughter, and they go back to Oklahoma. So within 2 weeks, Al lost everything, and he was in jail. All right.
Sounds about normal for a racetrack.
So now they abandon the horse. So I go see this horse.
Well, how was he going to feed him when he was in jail, for crying out loud? Go ahead.
Well, somebody should have taken care of him.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm trying to make this very long story as short as I possibly can, and you're really, really creating some terrible problems for me. So we get the horse for $1,000 and fix him up. About 6 months later, we're at the Great Barrington Fair, and he wins a race, pays $24, and I'm all excited. A week later, he runs a race against a local DJ as a promotional thing, and he loses. Okay. Now,
one fast DJ.
Well, the DJ, first of all, if you want the facts of this, the fact of the matter is that the horse had to run 80 yards, the DJ only had to run 40 yards, and we had the worst jockey in the history of man, Frankie Catrone Jr., tied to our horse. So I rest my case. But anyway, it was a very tight finish. So 2 months ago, I'm watching TVG. I'm getting to the point, Doug, honest to God. Dr. Byers, if you could only see his face. I'm getting to the point. So a few months ago, I'm watching TVG, and Frank Miramati, who does the play-by-play at Oaklawn, there's a race caller at Oaklawn, was the race caller at Great Barrington Park, and they were discussing with his co-host the greatest photo finishes they've ever seen. And Frank said, the greatest photo finish I ever saw was between this horse and a DJ at the Great Barrington Fair, where the DJ actually flung himself at the wire to nose out Keno Quick. So I emailed Frank and told him that was Keno Quick and that I had old friends, and it was really kind of interesting. And yesterday, I get a call. They want to retire Keno Quick, and Keno Quick's going to come to Old Friends.
Oh, wonderful.
All right.
How old is he?
How old is he now?
I think he's must be about 14.
Yeah. And he was still running?
No, he wasn't running anymore. He was actually a pony up at Churchill Downs for a while, and, you know.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned him earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're retiring him from a pony.
Yeah.
And you're getting it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
pretty darned exciting, don't you think?
Oh, I thought that was a hell of a
story. I mean, the ratings are zooming. They're zooming.
Probably can't believe a word of it, but other than
No, I got proof. In fact, if you want, I've got a VHS of the race between the DJ.
Oh, you got it?
Yes.
Oh. I
could make an audio recording. Rusty could play it next week.
Let me do this and get Doc on here.
Next Saturday may be Derby Day, but that's not what everybody's going to be looking forward to now.
Have you got your Derby horse yet?
I'm rooting for all the horses that help old friends, including fabulous Mark Valesky.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Brary's?
Yes.
Brary's horse. Yeah. Brary was up here earlier today. He came to stop by to see us.
Not only is he Brary's horse, but he's also out of a fortune of Prospect Mares, so he's got bloodlines back to old friends.
I'm sure he's a little bit more proud of the proud citizen that he's by. Cocker stand.
Well, I wouldn't presume that.
Well, there here is the Sire of Grade 2 Stakes winner in his first crop.
Hey,
I have just five name foals. On April 15th, the Keeneland Gypsy Robin, a 3-year-old filly by DeHare, making her first start of the year, easily won the Grade 2 Beaumont. Now, Gypsy Robin has won her first start of the year as a 2-year-old, believe me, at Keeneland. Get that right in a minute. She won by 7.5 lengths, giving notice if she was something special. She's trained by Wesley Ward, and she later won the $100,000 Sorority Stakes at Monmouth, and the future looks bright for Gypsy Robin. Yet another of those five named foals by DeHare has won allowance races and placed in graded stakes. So DeHare, with just five foals, it certainly passed the test. He can get you a runner. DeHare won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile and the Grade 2 Jerome. He's by the very successful Awesome Again for $50,000, and who stands for $50,000. Out of the stakes winner, Irish Cherry. The dam also the Grade 1 stakes winner, Sponge Sugar. That's a full sister to DeHare. DeHare, a sire of a Grade 2 stakes winner in his first crop. That's Gypsy Robin. Stands for 7,500 live foal. At Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to my friend Stallion Manager Ken Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Time to talk about Ralph Quillen. Well, so we were talking about Ralph. What did somebody was say? Oh.
He bought two buildings.
Oh, yeah. He bought two buildings downtown, and a friend of ours, Terry Tubbs, is going to remodel them for him.
Is that where he's going to put the pub?
I guess it is.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I hope I live long enough.
Well, it's right downtown. Yeah. You hope you live enough to go to these clubs.
Yeah. I figure Free Halters isn't that far from, you know what, Free something else.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I told him that I would give him some free advertising for one Sam Adams a week. Go down there and have a beer.
That's a great idea.
That's about my limit anyway. That's about all I can handle.
It'll drive to Paris.
Yeah. Anyway, Ralph, of course, has Quill and Leather and Tack in Paris. And let me tell you where it is. It's a great shop. You need to stop by, even if you're not thinking about buying anything right away. Just go in and look around. It's a fun place to go to. Got a great gift shop. And, of course, they make the best tack in the world. And it's right, if you're going into Paris from the Lexington area, here come my guests, by the way.
On bicycles?
On bicycles.
I saw them
go by. And getting back to Ralph Quillen here. Ralph, I'm messing this up for you, but I said you had the best tack in the world. And anyway, we're if you're going into Paris, it's the third stoplight. You can't miss it. And they really do. They sell about 20,000 halters a year.
We're going to be auctioning off a lot of Ralph's halters at our homecoming.
Boy,
thank you, Ralph.
Another one of those free plugs again. But Ralph takes care of his friends now, and he's really a nice guy, and it's a great tack shop. So stop by and see him, and it's Quillen.com, Quillin.com. And go down and see him and buy your tack there. Tell him old Ursel sent you down there, even if he did mess up your commercial. Well, last Saturday at Santa Anita, the La Puente Stakes was won by Blingo, a 3-year-old son of Artie Schiller. Now, Blingo is 2-for-2 on the grass. And that same day at Keeneland, Hammer's Terror, another 3-year-old from the second crop by Artie Schilling, placed in the Grade 3 Coolmore Lexington Stakes. Yet another 3-year-old, Sadir, S-A-D-I-R, has placed in two greatest stakes in South America. This following a first crop by Artie Schiller, which has seen 7 stakes winners, plus 7 more to place in stakes. That includes Mr. Commons, winner this year of the Grade 2 Arcadia Stakes, second in the Grade 1 Frankie Kilrow Mile. He also won 2 stakes in 2011 and placed in 3 others, including the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, the Grade 3 Stakes winner Anne's Beauty, and a Grade 1 Stakes winner Laser Hawk. One of the best 3-year-olds of colts in Australia, by the way. Artie Schiller won 6 graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile, earned over $2 million, and he's the son of Sire Sire's El Prado. Stands for $10,000, doing the full stands and nurses. 5% discount if you pay it by November 1. Stands at Windstar Farm, inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett, and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Hi, Doc. Finally getting you on here. You had a pained expression listening to all that bull going on.
Well, I was thinking about, most of the listeners are probably too young, but Groucho Marx used to have this TV quiz show. And every time somebody said the secret word, this bird would come out and the whistle would go off.
Okay.
We need to do something for every zinger that Michael presents to us. So when he slips in that free ad, we need to have the whistle go off.
I love that duck. I wonder where that duck lives now. That duck used to come down and say the magic word, and Groucho would give him money. You bet
he's
your life.
He's the one that, I don't guess I think the time they kicked him off the air, I don't guess I'd tell him what that was about. Do you remember that? They took him off, censored him?
Groucho?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you got your stories confused.
No.
He was always just right on the edge.
He's always on the edge.
I remember exactly what it was for.
What?
He had this lady, the guy.
Talk about teetering on the edge.
No, all right, I'm going to tell it. They'll probably take me off there.
Yeah.
But
No. They've tried that before.
He had that queer show,
you bet your life.
He was interviewing, this guy, and he asked this guy, and says,
I know this one.
He said, are you married? He says, yes, you are. Do you have any children? He says, I have 12. He says, 12? And the guy says, yes, I love my wife. And he says, I love my cigar too, but I take it out of my mouth every now and then. Okay, goodbye, Ursel.
He did that, but he didn't get kicked off the airport.
Well, no, but I thought they censored him right at that time.
No, they didn't. It's still on. You can get it.
Oh, okay.
I love that show. I was a big fan of that show. I used to watch it in reruns all the time.
Doc, I'm going to break a...
Yep.
And we'll
you
catch
go
up
ahead.
Real
yeah.
quick, and then we'll get
we
you.
Might get some people, might get some important information here from Dr. Byers if you stay tuned.
You treating any
but
derby
we're not
horses?
Promising anything.
You treating any derby horses right now, Doc, or can you say?
I can't say. And
you can't say?
In the last week, somebody gets worried.
Okay, he says he can't say, but if it's in the last week, usually that's when it happens. But when he can't say, that means yes. The 2 fastest buyer speed ratings ever recorded by son of the great Tiznow were both turned in by the same horse, Tisway. His buyer for the Grade 1 Metropolitan was a 1:13. His time, a sensational 1:32.4. That's one of the fastest dirt miles ever recorded. Then he registered a 1:11 buyer the day he won the Grade 1 Whitney over what was arguably the best field of older horses assembled in 2011. And there's more. He ran a mile in 1:34 and 2 to win the Grade 2 Kelso, a mile in 1:34 at Aqueduct, the same track where he sprinted 7 furlongs in 1:22 and 2. Got a mile in 1:34 and 4 at Belmont. Tis Way is the big horse by the big horse sire. In addition to being by Hall of Famer Tis Now, Tis Way has a pedigree which offers a 5x5 cross and a 4x5 cross to Northern Dancer and a 5x4 cross to Intensely. And he is a direct tail male descendant of the great man of war, generally considered to be the greatest runner of the 20th century. Greatness abounds in the pedigree. Tis Way, standing at first season at stud for $25,000, doing a full stanza nurses at Spencery Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, or Ned Toffee, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. I need a Briss in there somewhere. Maybe we don't have one. I'll just go ahead and give you the equine savings there. And spring's here, although you never know it by the temperature outside. And it's a great time to take a look at the equine savings program for your next equipment purchases. The equine savings program is easy to use, and it saves you up to 28% off commercial mowing equipment from such industry leaders as Toro and Exmark. And you can reach in equine savings at 502, that's the area code, 863-6000, or there's a toll-free number, 877-905-0004. Or, better yet, visit equinesavings.com to learn more. Now, Equine Savings has a simple pricing program with one straightforward price for everyone, no coupons, no hassles, just the best mowers at the best prices. And they also offer these products to mention of all breeds and disciplines. So if you're in the horse business, they want to hear from you. Equine Savings also offers excellent products with great savings from farmpaint.com. We just used it out on our place. Just finished use painting the farm. Abaco for organic pest control, featuring a predator flies that dine on the nuisance flies. And Commonwealth Technology for your copier, your fax, or scanner. And Equine Savings, locally owned, gives back to the industry and will deliver you the best value for your hard-earned dollar. Call them today and answer the phone 7 days a week. Here's those numbers again, 502-863-6000, 877-905-004. Equine Savings, no coupons, no dues, no hassles, just real savings.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Brisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at Brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Hey, Doc, what are we doing?
Sorry to wake you up.
We'll talk about osteomyelitis, bone infection. And just because we're the foals are old enough to be getting it or be at risk for it, so we think about joint ill, the infected navel, or an internal infection. If the navel gets infected, you can see the pus come out, or it hurts them when you squeeze on what looks like a hernia, and it's not a hernia, it's an abscess. And that puts the foal at risk. With the ultrasound, you can see where nothing shows externally, but you can see a problem internally. And usually the umbilical arteries that go back to the liver are where the infection will set up. But, you know, a lot of foals don't have infected umbilical cords, and so you don't know how they got it. We use the word both in adults, which is very uncommon, and foals. We say hematoges means it went through the bloodstream and then settled out an infection. And then we all always use the words in foals and adult horses when they get osteomyelitis and we can't figure out how they got it. We use the word idiopathic, which means us idiots can't figure out pathology and how it occurred.
Suits me fine.
Yeah, well, it's probably, that word probably belongs in our normal communications with the industry anyway, so they know that there's a bunch of guys out there that can make a lot of mistakes. Anyway, so in the foal, probably the most common suspected problem is he's a little sore today, and so they think the mare stepped on him, or you know, hit a fence or did something where trauma would be to blame. And really, I'd say a foal with a fever, low grade to significant, that's kind of gimpy, not really dragging or carrying the leg, a little bit gimpy. The chances of it being trauma is the least likely. So when you see them, you say, well, get my veterinarian to shoot an x-ray. And so then it'll show up on the x-ray is that the bone has a light area, usually a little bit circular or maybe slightly moth-eaten, and that would be an osteomyelitis. Now, sometimes the joint is distended and the joint is infected, but sometimes it's just stuck in the bone. And in foals, as opposed to adults, the growth plate, the physis, has an arc to the artery, so an infection will settle out up in the physis. On x-rays, you can see it, and usually veterinarians will either inject antibiotics directly into it. To go to oral antibiotics and have that clean up off some oral antibiotics, if it does, you know, you can count yourself in the luck category, because the osteomyelitis is difficult to treat and it will advance. And if it gets far enough along, the prognosis will become poor. Now, in the racehorse, the older animal, we see another big word that we've used before on here. Instead of idiopathic, iatrogenic, which means we caused it. So it's a induced infection, and a lot of racehorses get injected in their joints pretty commonly, and then the infection advances and gets into the bone. So that would be an iatrogenic cause. Nothing against the practitioner; it's just bad luck on that line of reasoning. We know that chronic laminitises, when the toe has penetrated the bottom of the hoof, they get an osteomyelitis of the coffin bone. And once in a while, the tip of that bone has to be curetted out, where you just go in and you open it up and you dig it out and let them start over before it starts to eat up their whole leg. So it doesn't eat up their whole leg, but it advances to the point that they can become euthanasia candidates. Surgeons that do orthopedic surgery, the worst thing that they could have happen is they get an osteomyelitis around the screws, something in there, and when they x-ray them, check on how they're doing, and a lot of those horses are in casts, so they're not going to tell you how lame they really are. So he shoots an x-ray, and usually about 2 weeks down the road, he wants to see what's happened, he or she, and there's a lucency or lightness around the screws, or a screw's actually backing out. And so then they know they got to go back in there and try and clean it up. Again, they use antibiotics. They want to get a culture. And our antibiotics don't help us much anymore in a lot of areas because we've got a lot of bacterial resistance. So you think about a human hospital that you've got MRSA infections or methicillin-resistant staph. That's not uncommon. There's a lot of hospital-related bugs that are not sensitive to very much. So that becomes kind of pivotal to treat them systemically with those antibiotics. And just like in the foal, not a whole lot of success treating systemically or through the bloodstream. So they put tourniquets around those legs. And then they inject the antibiotics directly into the vein, area and hyperperfuse that area to force the antibiotics into the bone area. In some cases, and isn't done very commonly, they will put a needle directly into the bone marrow and inject there.
Uh-huh.
And that's called intramedullary. But again, the success rate, when you get to some of these desperations, you're in trouble. So anyway, it's a bad prognosis. If a piece of bone rots and breaks off, that's called a sequestrum. And so that sequestrum has no blood supply. So you really have to go in there and take that piece out. Mm. And if you get in there and you get a good response, prognosis can dramatically change for the better. Mm. But you start out poor. And you have to kind of take that into end effect. Anyway, then you for those horses that are euthanized, we either euthanize them with chemicals, euthanasia solution, probably captive bolts and gunshots are the most humane, but psychologically people don't like that.
Yeah.
And so and whoever is doing that needs to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And need to to do it right. And so anyway, that's pretty much just osteomyelitis is something. If you get your foal out there, you got a little fever, looks happy, but he's a little bit off, don't think that the mayor stepped on him. Get it checked out. Get it checked out.
Okay, now.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
What are you looking for, young lady?
I was just
going to
say hi.
Oh, hi. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
You light up the place.
We don't.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks, Ursula.
All right. Tell my guests to come on in. Go introduce yourselves if you don't know them.
Yeah.
All righty. That's Marty's daughter. Good to see you, huh?
Yeah, you
too. Well, Street Heroes First Starter is Street Heroes First Winner. April 22 in the third race at Calder, a maiden special for two-year-olds, Street Magic. Two-year-old fillet in the first crop by Street Hero. Drew away when asked to win by widening 5 1/4 lengths. She's a runner. And there are more on the way. Now, Street Hero is a superior two-year-old, a grade one stakes winner. In fact, he won her placed in 3 consecutive grade one stakes as a two-year-old. The Norfolk, the Delmar Opportunity, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Street Hero is by the outstanding sire Street Cry out of a multiple graded stakes producer from a family heavy with black type, and he stands at Vinery, Kentucky for $5,000. Doing the foal stands and nurses. Contact Grant Williamson, John Gasper, Francis Rillahan, or Steve Castanola at 455-9388. Check the website at vinery.com, and remember that the staffs at Vinery, Kentucky, Vinery, Florida, and Vinery, New York stand ready to assist you in every facet of the thoroughbred industry. Want to get my guests?
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs.
Yeah.
The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company.
Yeah.
So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him.
Well, they're supposed to be in here right now.
And believe me, we've been more than satisfied.
Yeah.
The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company.
Oh,
they
work a knockout now, isn't she?
And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call. 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Be right with you. Well, last Saturday in Chicago, the Grade 3 $200,000 60 sales handicap was won by She's All In, a 5-year-old mare by Include. Tough and durable, She's All In has won 6 stakes, and in 4 starts this year, she's finished 1, 2, 3 in all 4, including a second in the Grade 3 Azari. Going into the 60 sale, she's earned over $590,000. Include is also the sire this year of Include Me Out, winner of the Grade 1 Santa Margarita and the Grade 2 La Canada, Park Stakes winner Arbuston Parver, and five others to place in stakes. Among them, the Grade 1 place Open Water. To date, included sired five Grade 1 stakes winners, plus eight others that have placed in Grade 1 stakes. That's 13 Grade 1 stakes horses to this year. The includes compete at the highest level. Remember that the next time you see an include, walk into the sales ring. Includes a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $1,659,000. He's a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners and a son of champion sire Broadbush. Stands for $12,500. Live foal with possible breeding incentives available to Mr. and Mrs. Brer and C. Jones of Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studio, this is...
You got us? 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
I was giving the horse right here. The name I was giving him away. Clear, and here's the guy that says those are the ones. Is clear. Can do, this guy says the horse can do. All righty. Well, we're starting the second hour of this show, and I have with me now two of the three breeders of the Bluegrass Stakes winner. And they're sitting here all smiley and happy, and I would be too, let me tell you, especially since you still own the mare. But that's Phil Needham, and let me see if I'm getting your name correct. It's Benda Halecki? Is that right?
Perfect.
Is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
Damn, that's the first thing I've done right today, I think.
It's actually Benedicta.
Is it?
But Benda, well, for
let's,
short.
Let's stick it to Benda, will you? Okay. I mean, I'm never going to.
Yeah. Benda.
Yeah, Benda.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't right.
No, it's
she not. Said I was.
Close enough.
Now,
close
Phil,
enough.
Don't start correcting me now when the lady says it's right. Well, anyway, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
I want to ask a dumb question now. Y'all going to Derby?
Actually, no.
Oh, my God, no.
No, we're going to go to a bicycle race. When Mind That Bird won the Derby, we watched it from a sports bar in Ohio after we won our bicycle race.
I'd go back at sports bar.
That's what we're doing.
That's exactly
we're going to do the exact same thing. We're not going to break up the mojo.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good plug for the bar. What was the name? What's the name of the bar up there? Do you remember?
Yeah, no. It was called Champs. It's up north of Cincinnati. We were on our way home from Dayton, where the race is.
Now, you all ride bicycles and everything. You all dressed up here and you came pedaling here right on time. I was impressed that you all came right up right on time, which is more than I was. But you can't be in a bar if you're riding bikes and stuff like that.
Well, this was after the race, Ursel.
Oh, okay. You're like the Irish.
You're right.
It's after the fox hunt.
After the fox hunt.
Anything goes, huh?
That's right. We don't carry a flask in our pockets, but we found the bar.
Yeah, okay. Well, did you? So you saw the bluegrass.
We were at the bluegrass. We rode our bicycles. We're training for this race next week. So we trained on our bicycles, and then we went out to see the race. And it was a fantastic race. I don't know. Did you see it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Fantastic race.
Yeah.
We loved every minute of it.
I bet you did.
So how do you like the way he races? From the rear coming up and taking over the finish line?
I like him as long as you're in front at the end.
Okay. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's where it counts.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, he's a marvelous horse, really nice three-year-old, and you've got the mare. And she just had a foal, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
What's this one by, Phil?
By Giant's Causeway.
Oh, well, that's...
And it's very interesting, Ursel. The markings are exactly like Doolahan.
Is that right?
Yeah. The same star with connecting blades. It's beautiful. He's beautiful.
Ah.
He's another crackerjack out of this mare. And how she continues to do that is nature's wonder.
Is it? Now, he's over at Amelia Foyon's Bonaterra farm.
That's right.
Right? You keep your mares there, too.
That's right. Uh-huh.
You own any other mares there?
I own quite a few with Phil. I got into the business with Phil and Judy probably 10 years ago. And off to a bang-up start, I bought a portion of a mare for $40,000, and we sold the first foal just a few months later, in fall, obviously. We sold the first foal at Saratoga for $400,000, and I thought this business was easy.
The foal she was carrying?
The foal she was carrying.
Oh, we just added a zero.
We just added a zero. So it was easy, and I started to increase my investments with Phil and Judy. And then the horse business took hold. Uh-huh. The wild ride of the horse business, the great births and the great sicknesses and the veterinarians and the problems and the it's a wild ride. It's real positive and real negative.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I probably own parts of 15 or 20 horses with Phil and Judy. Obviously, whatever I own, he owns. I don't do anything without them. I've trusted them, and boy, we've done pretty well so far, I think.
Now, where'd you get the dam of this horse? Where'd
Well, we bought her at the auction.
Okay.
November sale at Keeneland.
Yeah. What'd you pay for her?
We paid a very low price for her, Ursel. She was unraced, unproven.
Well, I bragged. Now, you act like you're embarrassed about it.
And barren.
And she was empty.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you see in her that you liked?
Yeah, why don't you tell the whole story, really, really? Didn't you birth her?
Well, yeah, we owned her mom, Aspinel, by Vice Regent. We had another mare by Vice Regent. That's why we acquired her, and we did very well with the Vice Regent bloodline. And she gave birth to Miney My Own, the Dam of Doolahan. And I foaled her, and I always liked her. Mm-hmm. But we then put her in training as a two-year-old. Judy broke them, as she did most of the horses back then. And
she's the one that does all the work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, she's the one that does the work. Well, unfortunately, she'd be here today with us, Ursel, but her mom just died, so she's attending her funeral.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to break the appointment with you, so I stayed here.
Get out.
Well, you insisted that I... Well, the first time we were going to come on air was canceled, so... You said just...
You're not going to pin this on me. I refuse to feel guilty. Go on with the story.
So we campaigned her, and unfortunately, before her first race, after a one black type work, she had an injury that disabled her to continue to train. Not anything life-threatening, but just hurt herself. And we decided to bring her back home. Mm-hmm. And Bill Betts and two other people owned her at that time with me.
Okay.
We all had equal 25%. And a couple of years later, we decided that we would part ways business-wise because we'd been in business for 20-odd years. And I was getting to the point where I wanted to be a little more independent and of a retirement age. So... There was several mares that were offered in the auction that we owned together.
Mm-hmm.
And if the partners that we owned those mares with agreed to take them to the auction, then it was the easiest way to part ways. So without any real any thought of buying any particular mare, I saw her running through the ring at a very low price. And I bid $8,000 and ended up with her.
Wow. So I'm sitting at Procter & Gamble, where I work, and I get this phone call. It's 12:53, and I have a big meeting at 1 o'clock. Phil's on the phone, and you could hear the auctioneers in the background. And he says, Benna, do you want to buy another mare? And I said, Phil, not another one. Please, I told you no more. I don't want to buy anymore. He says, oh, Benna, please. He said, I'm here at the sales ring. I've offered it to my partners. They don't want her. I've offered it to my son. He doesn't want it. And I don't want to bear the expenses. So come on in. You're in on lots of others. We're good partners. Come on in. I said, how much and who's she in foal to? Well, that's the problem. She's barren.
She's cheap and barren.
So the cheapness got me. And after he said about the pedigree and how much he loved her lineage and the fact that he foaled her, I went ahead and said, just go ahead. I'll write the four. So we own her 50-50. I gave him $4,000, and boom, we're off to the races.
Yeah. So you bred her to the sire of mine at Burton. Birdstone,
right.
Yeah. What'd you pick him for?
She was a large mare, and we thought he was a significantly bred horse, and obviously he had won the Belmont, so we thought he was just a good choice for her.
Yeah.
Not concerned about the size of the offspring, but... As it turned out, Mind That Bird was always a very small horse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he matured into a very good athlete, of course. But Ursel, we always stayed with the same philosophy on breeding mares. We pretty much breed them to the amount that they're worth, and we didn't want to spend more than...
You don't want to overbreed your mare.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and as that
mare improves or she has a couple of winners or a stakes winner, then we upgrade our breeding.
To Giant's Causeway.
To Giant's Causeway.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a big upgrade.
She's earned that, for
but
God's
she's
sake.
Earned it.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
How in the world do you hang on to a mare like that? I mean, I would, you know, what would she bring at auction?
Well, the temptation has already been to sell her, but we did hold on, and we're fortunate that we did, because I think her value has gone up considerably since Mind That Bird won the Derby.
It was quite a discussion after Mind That Bird won the Derby on whether we should sell or not. It's quite a discussion again now, even with Doolahan wanting the Bluegrass. And so we're going to have another discussion, I guess, after the Derby. And, I mean, we have to consider now all possibilities, obviously.
You know, that mare's no telling what she's worth. But I don't believe there's ever been another mare have two Derby winners.
Never
know,
has.
If he wins a Derby.
We've researched that. A certain number have had more than one Derby entry. But no mare, for as far as the research I've already done, as you've done,
I can't even think of any, you know, classic winners other than the Dam of Jazzle and who's the other one that Rags to Riches.
Rags to Riches, right.
Produced two Belmont. Right. I got to take a break and pay some bills, and I'll be right back with you.
Okay.
You don't have to listen to this if you want to close the... April 20th, Keene in the Grade 3 Double Dog Dare Stakes was won by Pack Attack, daughter of Puppet. The Double Dog Dare was Pack Attack's first start of the year, and it increased earnings to over $786,000. She won the Grade 3 Arlington Matron in 2011 and ended the year by placing in three consecutive Grade 1 stakes. The Personal Ensign at Saratoga, the Spinster at Keeneland, and the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic. She's a typical Puppet who, in addition to annually ranking among the nation's leading sires, both on a racetrack and in the sales arena, is a sire of sires. Two of Puppet's sons stand at Claiborne Farm. The first foals by the multiple graded stakeswomen of Parading are yearlings. Parading's out of a daughter of Stormcat and classic winner and millionaire My Flag. The next dam is the Great Personal Ensign. Stroll won Grade 1 stakes, sired six stakes winners, two graded stakes winners, including a champion filly in Canada, then was sent to Europe. Now, his first foal since his return to this country are yearlings, and he was recently named a Valier Sire by Bill Oppenheim. Puppet stands for $50,000, Parading for $3,500, Stroll for $5,000. At Claiborne Farm. Fees due when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at ClaiborneFarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Parrish. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Dunkirk was one of the best three-year-olds of his generation. Dunkirk won his career debut by nearly six lengths and his second start by over four at the direct expense of Grade 1 stakes winner Warrior's Reward. Then, in what was just his third career start, he ran a sensational second to Quality Road in the Grade 1 Florida Derby, then finished second to champion three-year-old Summerbird in the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes. Dunkirk, $3,700,000 sales-topping yearling, and he is by the top sire Unbridled Song, who commands a stud fee of $85,000. This the sire line of the classic winner and classic sire Unbridled, the sire of sires and the grandsire of Bodemeister, the likely favorite for the upcoming Kentucky Derby. What's more, Dunkirk is out of the sensational race mare Secret Status by A.P. Indy. Secret Status won both the classic Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and the Grade 1 Mother Goose, and she earned over $1 million. It's a great pedigree. First foals by Dunkirk are yearlings. He stands for $10,000, doing a foal stands and nurses at Coomore's Ashford Stud. See the website at Coomore.com, and remember, leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coomore. I'm talking to Ben Halecki and to Phil Needham. And Ben, where are you from originally?
Beaver Meadows, Pennsylvania, up in the Poconos of Pennsylvania.
Okay. Were you interested in horses while you didn't have many?
Well, no. And they did not in the horse connection at all. I worked for Procter & Gamble, and we used to own the Jif Peanut Butter Factory in Lexington on Winchester Road.
Oh, okay.
And I came to run that in 1986 and do various jobs and did that for quite a few years until I moved jobs up to Cincinnati, Ohio, okay, where I still work for them.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I love Jiffy, isn't it?
It's Jiff.
Just Jiff, J-I-F-F. We used to buy it all the time, didn't we, Jackie? Yeah, peanut butter. Where are you from, Phil?
I'm from Weston, Connecticut.
I didn't realize that. I should have recognized that Yankee accent.
Thank you. Yeah, they say it still comes out once in a while.
Yeah. You'd think after all these years.
But I've been in Kentucky for 36 years, Ursel.
Well, you know what they say. If you fold in Ohio, you're an Ohio bred.
That's right.
You came down here for what reason?
After school, Judy and I met in college. Her passion, of course, was to be involved in some way with the horses.
Uh-huh.
And I followed her passion, basically. And then when I came here, I worked as hard as I could to learn as much as I could. But I started owning horses in Afghanistan when I was a Peace Corps volunteer. So I always had an affinity for them and couldn't afford them when I was younger than that. And they didn't give as much of a salary in the Peace Corps, so I had some marginal horses but had a lot of fun owning them over there.
You owned horses in Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Were you racing horses?
No, just pleasure riding, going into the country.
Okay.
That's when it was a safe place.
Yeah, right. You get your butt shot off there now. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, geez, whiz. So you came back here and
well, we...
After you got out of the Peace Corps?
Yeah, I got out of the Peace Corps, tried to earn a little money, and I did a little bartending, and I had a couple of jobs.
Now you're getting down to my level. Where are your bartender? You went from Peace Corps to the bartender. I love that.
You like that?
Probably drove you to drink.
So I knew I had to do something a little more productive than that in my life, so I worked 1 year in New York City with Container Corporation selling folding cartons.
Okay.
Judy was very unhappy in Connecticut because there wasn't anything to do really for her except for a few little odds and ends jobs with horses. So we came down and attended an interview and got hired by Kenneth Fransheim, the half owner of Alapa Farm.
Oh, beautiful place.
Beautiful place in North Middletown. We stayed there for 10 years. Uh-huh. And that job.
Running man?
Pardon me?
What were you doing over there?
I was managing his half of his farm.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Clearing, building sheds for horses. And John Bell was the bloodstock agent, and I started learning from him.
The best.
He was one of the best.
Oh, John was great.
Yeah. And that's actually and he was a very close friend of Jimmy Dryman's.
Yeah.
So
we were talking about Jimmy off there a minute ago. He's a great friend of ours.
I took a couple of those fellows seriously, and they luckily gave me a lot of insight and a lot of thoughts and a lot of knowledge. And then I worked on many farms while I was working during the day for Kenneth, obviously. He was the ambassador to New Zealand, so I had a little bit of time to spread my wings and learn as much as I could. I worked at the Gainesway Breeding Shed and just kept working harder and harder. And finally I realized it might be better to be on my own. But I got delayed for another 10 years managing Domino Stud.
Mm-hmm. That's when Terry had it?
That's when Bill Terry had it.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Now, he bought that off Jimmy, didn't he?
He bought that off Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, Jimmy said it was the best Christmas present he ever received.
Oh.
From Bill Terry.
Jimmy was a character.
He was a real character.
Yeah. You know the big house that burned down over
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
I lived in that house for a long time.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah. My dad managed Dixiana starting in 1929.
I knew you were involved with Dixiana, but I didn't know you lived in that big house.
Lived there for about 10 years.
Wow.
Until they sold the house in 19... Well, they sold that side of the farm. It was Dixiana at that time in 1947.
Right, 47.
That was when they disbanded the show horses. They used to have both show horses and thoroughbreds.
Well, a beautiful piece of property.
Oh, I hated to see that house.
I know.
Go down, you know.
Really a shame. Mr. Terry had done an awful lot of additions to that house, too. It ended up being 23,000 square feet.
I'm not going to comment on that.
You don't think that's the correct figure?
I liked the house the way it was.
Right. Well, he had his own.
That old house was built back in the 1860s, you know.
Yeah, but he didn't give you any say on your opinion on that.
He didn't ask me. No. I would have given him an opinion.
Yeah. You should have had him on the show here or so.
Well, I didn't have this show at that time.
So we go back a long time.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Yeah, I remember meeting you over there.
And
yeah.
Then from there, we went into business. I went into business with Bill Betts.
Yeah.
We kind of combined revenues and started buying at a very low level.
Yeah.
And identifying horses that could hopefully someday be sold for profit.
Yeah. Now, when you and Bill went into business together, was that over on Mount Hoar up there? Or were you somewhere else?
No, we bought that farm together from Bill McGee.
From Bill McGee.
Yeah, we started on a little farm in North Middletown.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. See.
Oh, Bill McGee's farm. Yeah. What's the name of that one?
Winton Farm.
Winton, I was farm secretary.
Yeah, Jackie's comment from the peanut gallery over there. That she used to be the farm secretary.
Oh,
for
really?
For Dr. McGee.
For Bill McGee.
Yeah, for Bill.
Well,
young Bill.
I renovated and converted that house that you probably were the secretary in, Jackie, for a house for our manager.
Ah, okay.
It was the little one.
The little one, right on the road on the left. Yeah.
Doc still lived in
the
big one.
No, the one on the road on the left was Bill's house. Doc was in a big old house. And on the right down there was the secretary's office.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah.
We just got our rights and lefts mixed up.
That's the story of her life.
Age.
Y'all want a Coke?
You're old. I'm
no,
not.
No, I'll have a little sip of this one. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, you've got one. Okay. Y'all are biking this morning. I guess.
Yeah.
You're anxious to go. I know I can
tell. Well, we're training for that same race that we were in 2009 when Mind That Bird won the Derby.
Oh, well, and, of course
you
got to
train for that.
And
it's a national race called the Calvin's Challenge. It's how many miles you can bike in 12 hours. And we both, luckily and fortunately, own that record nationally.
Is that right?
It was 224 miles.
Oh, you're kidding. No. In 12 hours?
12 hours.
Were you in on that, Ben?
Yeah, no. We try to drag him along to make sure that he can kind of hang on. So we have to train and get out there and try hard. So we'll do that instead of doing the Derby next weekend. On Saturday, we'll be starting at 7:30 in the morning and biking onward up until Derby time, where we'll hopefully sneak in.
And it's up in Ohio.
It's up in Ohio, outside of Dayton, Ohio. Yeah.
Oh, and this year, we'll do the six-hour challenge, the same concept, how many miles you can bike in 6 hours, just so we can have a chance to have a little rest before we watch the Derby.
And this is a great race prep for the national championships, where Phil and I competed last year in the nationals at Houston, Texas. And I'm proud to say Phil won a silver medal in his age group, and so he's the second best and fastest man in the whole United States in his age group.
Woo!
And was that over 90?
We won't give away how old he is. We're going to keep that a secret, okay?
Well, if she's telling you about me, let me tell you about her.
All right.
She's the gold medal winner.
Oh, okay. Wow.
She's the fastest girl, woman in her age group in the whole United States.
And we definitely won't say that age group, okay?
18 to 24.
18 to 24, okay.
Plus.
And you've got me pinned at 90. Thanks, Ursula.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm impressed. You know, it's all I can do, get a half an hour on the walker to Y. I have to push myself to do that.
And a hot cup of coffee.
Yeah, right. Well, I've got a little age on both of you, so.
But really, this Doolahan and this mare has been one of the greatest thrills in our lives.
Well, it's, look, you know, it looks like it's all blue skies, you know, from here on in. I mean, this is a rough derby. I mean, this is the most competitive derby we've had.
Yeah, I would say the deepest field for a long time.
There's at least 10 horses in there that if they win it, you're not even going to be surprised.
That's right. That's right.
And I, you know.
What if it rains?
Yeah, what if it rains?
That's right.
Did you hear that?
I heard it.
What if it rains?
What if it rains? That's okay.
You don't care?
No.
No, okay. Well, that's something to remember, because they're predicting some.
He's got a good foot. He seems to be able to handle most any surface. The one critique people have mentioned is that he hasn't been truly as good on the dirt as he has been on the poly, but he's only run a couple of times on the dirt, and he did come fourth in the Derby, the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was dirt right there at Churchill.
Yeah, right. That's right. Well, I'm going to let you all get on, hit the bike trail,
And we've got about 80 more miles to cover today.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I've got about 15 miles from home, Jackie. And then I'm going to take... I'm going to drive home and take a nap.
Think about you.
Well, Ursel, thanks so much for having us.
Oh, it's fun. I'm glad you all came by, and it's nice meeting you, Ben.
Yeah, you too. Really good, appreciate it.
Good luck Thank to you guys.
Thanks.
And it looks like you all are having fun, and we'll be rooting for you.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You very much.
All right. We'll see you guys, and I'll pay some bills. And
what?
Let me find out where I am first. I get lost here. All right, this is Resi over here. Yeah, he runs the show for me. Oh, okay, Judmont. Mizzen Masses have another solid year at stud. Ultimate Eagle has won the Grade 2 Stroob after winning the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby and the Grade 2 Oak Tree in 2011. He is one of three Grade 1 stakes winners by Mizzen Mass. Misdirection has already won three stakes in 2012, including the Grade 3 Monrovia, after winning or placing in four stakes last year. Among them, the Grade 2 River Raven Run, if I'd say it, at Keeneland, and the Grade 2 San Clemente. She is one of the top distaffers on the West Coast this year. Now, the crack three-year-old Lord Sinclair has won stakes in France this year. In fact, Mizzen Mass is well-known in Europe, where he's been represented by a number of major stakes winners. To date, Mizzen Mass is the sire of four 2012 stakes winners, plus two others to place in stakes, and there's one thing you can depend on. There is always another Mizzen Mass on the way to the winner's circle. Mizzen Mass, a Grade 1 stakes winner and a proven sire of Grade 1 stakes winners, offers an outcross to Northern Dancer and Mr. Prospector Lion Mares for 12,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. Home also the young Grade 1 stakes winner, First Defense. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, last weekend was another good one for horses raised on McCauley Brothers products. The Grade 2 San Juan Capistrano winner, Bourbon Bay, was bred by Adina Springs. Capital Plan, winner of the Grade 2 Santa Barbara Handicap, was bred by Madeline Pickens and the Diamond A Corporation. Keenan's Grade 3 Ben Eli went to Wise Dan in new track record time. Wise Dan was raised at Patch and Wilkes Farm for breeder Morton Fink. Ben Walden Jr. raised both All Squared Away, winner of the Grade 3 Lexington Coomore Stakes, and Blingo, winner of the La Puente Stakes. Flash Mash, winner of the Giants Causeway Stakes at Keenan, was bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings, and the Goldfinch Stakes at Prairie Maters was won by Tapajo, bred by Dr. Johnny Griggs and Linda Griggs. That's seven stakes winners, four of them graded stakes winners for Associates of McCauley's. Congratulations to all. Always a leader in their field, McCauley's was the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse, and they're proud of the record compiled by their clients. To join the winning team, call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse.
Sally Van are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
You know, Jim Fitzgerald spent a lifetime in the horse business. He's come up under some of the greatest horsemen in the world, Michael Osmond, John Williams, Lee Eaton. And he owns not only Knott Griffin Farm over in Bourbon County, but Harper's Island Farm, which is close by. The farms are right close to each other, not 10 minutes apart, as a matter of fact. Knott Griffin's right there on 460, just a couple of miles from the Bourbon County bypass around Paris. And they do boarding and sales prep and public sales, private sales as far as that goes, rehab, just about anything you need that can do it right there at both farms as far as that goes. He's got quality help, wouldn't stand for anything else because he's a top horseman and that's all he wants around him. And it's let me give you his website. It's knockgriffinfarm.com. KnockGriffinFarm.com, and he can give you just some not only great boarding facilities there, but just some good common sense sound advice. So, and he's somebody you can trust. Now, here's his phone number over at Knock Griffin Farm. That's the home place. It's a Bourbon County number, 987-8032. And once again, it's knockgriffinfarm.com.
Run that body one more time. Tell me how you'd never cheat on me. Tell me that you always will be true, dear. Run that body one more time.
All righty. I think I have Steve Moody with me now. Steve, how you doing?
All right, Ursula.
You're perking right along now, hitting on all eight.
Opening day and 1 week away from the big day, and the Derby still looks clear as mud.
I tell you what, it's one of the most competitive derbies that I guess in my lifetime that I can remember, and I go back a couple of years.
I'm usually at this point in time, I'm usually down to a couple, and I'm probably now about I might be at a half a dozen, probably. If I really thought about it, it'd probably be closer to 8 or 10 that I'm still considering. So.
Yeah, me too. I've been trying to do a little something with it, and I'm like you. There's about 10 horses, 10 or maybe more that if they won, you're not going to be surprised at all.
Yeah, I'm going to be obviously ones that work weekend. How they work is going to determine probably for me one I end up with, and it's going to be a wide open race, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, maybe we can do better with the Derby trial. Who do you like there today?
Yeah, we've got a good field in here, Ursula. Of course, this trial is used to be kind of what it was named. A race that they would go in and then come back in the Derby, but I don't think we've had a winner, a trial winner win the Derby since Tommy Lee, I think, was the last one. It's maybe more of a Preakness prep days than a Derby.
Tommy Lee, it was 59.
Yeah, and but we got a good field here, 11 horses, born a flat mile, of course, and several to consider. I like of the ones that I've looked at, the two horse shipping in from Southern California named The Black. Doug O'Neill trains this one, and Calvin Burrell, who's been the sort of the hot rider at Churchill in years gone by. He's on him, and this horse is really seem to be going good now. This is a race, Ursula. These 1 mile races at Churchill, I'm kind of a fan of horses that are sprinters that have good finishing kick when they sprint six or six and a half or seven furlongs. I kind of prefer those kind in these 1 mile races rather than the horses that have been running two turns that are turning back going one turn. And I know in this race, the seven horse is kind of has the running style that I don't really care for. He'll be, and I'm sure he'll be the favorite, and that's Painter, who broke his maiden out in Southern California and then stepped right up from that into the Santa Anita Derby. Ran a big race in there. Didn't got away kind of badly and still got up and finished fourth. Very good effort. Of course, Bob Baffert is a trainer, and he's going to have maybe the Derby favorite, possibly, Bodie Meister. So this horse is going to take a lot of money, no question about that. But I just, like I said, I'm not really crazy about the turnback type of horse. Although it wouldn't, obviously wouldn't surprise me if he won. Another horse to look at is the five horse. I guess it's High Arrow. Steve Asmussen's got him right there last time out. Didn't have a needed late punch, but if he turns things around today, I think he's one that you've got to take a look at. And then the bottom horse is really the great unknown in here. For Kellen Gorder, Bourbon Courage, ran him twice down at the fairgrounds, and he just absolutely just smoked the maiden field he faced, and then stepped up and beat a group of winners. He beat them just as easily as he beat the maidens. And so this horse really could be any kind. And I think the one turn mile is right up his alley. I like the outside post in the 1 mile races at Churchill. I don't think that's a hindrance at all. And that's who I finally landed on here, Ursel. You know, like I said, he's just, you don't really know how good he might be. And so I'm gonna take him in here. I think he's got the right running style. I'm gonna use the two horse, the Black, who's a big price, 15-1. I'm gonna take him second, and then the favorite, Painter, third, the 7 horse. So we're gonna go 11-2-7 in the Derby trial.
All right, Steve. We sure thank you. You handicap that Derby real good now. I want you to pick in a winner next week.
Well, we're gonna see what we come up with between now and a week from now when I get that all important phone call. I know you'll be on the edge of your seat.
Right now, who are you leaning toward?
Well, I think. Gemologist, I thought, was impressive the way he, other horse came to him in the wood, and he just, sort of looked that one in the eye and said, no, you're not going to go by.
Chip off the old block there.
And, just, spurted out again. I thought he was impressive. I thought that, The Baffert's horse was impressive winning the race in Arkansas. Although obviously you got the emotional ties there with the trainer and his recent health issues, and then obviously the horse named for his son, and you got all that sort of intertwined in there. So he's going to be the favorite that. Probably, and you hate to take a favorite in a race that's as wide open as this one, but he certainly would, he could certainly win again. Union Rags is the one that everybody thinks is maybe the class of the field, but he's, he came up short in the Florida Derby to take Charge Indy, but he has looked good at Churchill since he's come up there from Michael Matz, and obviously he's one you got to look at.
Yeah, Lord.
The Florida Derby winner, Take Charge Indy, was very impressive. The way he won, I mean, it's just so many. The horse from last year's connections went today well. Doing the same thing, coming up from the spiral
you got to respect the connections there,
because they certainly
know what you're doing.
There's just so many, Ursel, and that I left out Creative Calls, who ran big in the Santa Anita Derby, and I'll Have Another, and horse shipping in from. Down in New Mexico, the Sunland Derby.
Well, hell, you're going to run through the whole field.
All I want is one.
That's what
I'm talking about, Ursel.
Okay.
There's still too many to, I'm normally down to two or three at this particular time, but this year it's about six or eight.
Yeah, makes it more interesting.
Still got to do some surgery to get down to one.
All right. Well, Steve, thank you so much. It's been Steve Moody, Author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and of course he is with that's published by our good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services. Talk to you next week, Steve. Thanks.
All right, Erson.
All right. Well, DeHare is the sire of the Grade Two Stakes winner in his first test crop of just five named foals on April the 15th at Keeneland. Gypsy Robin, a 3-year-old filly by DeHare, making her first start of the year, easily won the Grade Two Beaumont. Now, Gypsy Robin had won her first start as a 2-year-old at Keeneland by an eye-popping 7.5 lengths, so she gave notice at that time she was something special. She was trained by Wesley Ward, and she later won the $100,000 Sorority Stakes at Monmouth Park. That was in her last start at 2, and the future, it's all blue skies for Gypsy Robin. Yet another of those five named foals by DeHare has won allowance races and placed in graded stakes, so DeHare has certainly passed the test with that test crop of just five named foals. He can get you a runner. DeHare won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile and the Grade 2 Jerome. He's by the very successful Awesome Again, fee $50,000 live foal. He's out of the stakes winner Irish Cherry, and she's the dam also, the Grade 1 stakes winner Spun Sugar, who's a foal sister to DeHare. DeHare, side of Grade 2 stakes winner Gypsy Robin, stands for 7,500 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes, and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com. Want to talk a little bit about my friend Mort Shirazi out here. He's breaking in a new lead pony as we, well, just about a half an hour ago I saw him, I think. He trains out here at the Thoroughbred Center. Got a very good win percentage. Hitting over around 25% this year. And I think it... he had one in just the other day, and like most of his starters, pretty near all of them, as a matter, they ran 1, 2, 3, 4. It ran fourth. He said this thing can't run at all, but anyway, he ran fourth for Mort in a pretty good sized field. Mort does a very good job with problem horses, and he wants to upgrade his stable more with some horses where he doesn't have to overcome problems to get him to run, which he's been able to do, but it'd be more fun and probably even more profitable for him if he would just get some good horses to start out. So if you're looking for a horse trainer that gets the job done, I'll give you Mort's number in just a few minutes. He also has Shirazi Bloodstock. Let me spell his last name, S-H-I-R-A-Z-I, Bloodstock, down in Paris, Kentucky. Got a background, well, his family's been in the business for over 100 years. He used to ride races himself about 60, 70 pounds ago. And sorry about that, Mort. And runs a bloodstock agency. Can take care of all your needs there. He's got a background with Pace and Stud and Lane's Inn and so forth. And managed a horse farm for over 10 years. So Mort's a well-rounded horseman. Now I'm going to give you his phone number, and then I'll give you his website. Phone number, it's an 859 number. 351-2360, and his website is bronkbusters.com, bronkbusters.com. He got that name for working with problem horses. In fact, the lead pony he was on today was a problem horse and had him look like he was going pretty good for me. Once again, Mort at 351-2360. All right, well, April 21 at Keeneland, the $200,000 Coolmore Lexington Stakes was won by All Squared Away, a 3-year-old colt by Bellamy Road. All Squared Away came from off the pace to outfinish the previously undefeated Warfront colt, Summerfront, Hammers Terry, he's by Artie Schillers, and 8 others. He is the second graded stakes winner from the second crop by Bellamy Road. The sire of 7 stakes winners puts 2 more to place in stakes in his first crop. Among his stakes winners, Position Limit, winner of the Grade 2 Adirondack at Saratoga, Victoria's Wildcat, winner of the Grade 3 8 Bell Stakes at Churchill, Toby's Corner, winner of the Grade 1 Wood Memorial. He earned over $784,000 to date. Belmont Park Stakes winner in Grade 1 place, Bellamy Star. A Grade 1 stakes winner himself and a graded stakes winner at both 2 and 3. Bellamy Road stands for $20,000 doing a full stands of nurses. There's a 5% discount if you pay it by November 1. At Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. Friday, you got to take care of my good friend David Schweitzer over at Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, who wants me to plug the breeders of stakes winners the previous weekend that were foaled in Kentucky. These are Kentucky breeders and Kentucky foaled horses. And we'll start out with the San Juan Capistrano Grade 3 out of Santa Anita winner, Bourbon Bay, who was bred and foaled right down at Edina Springs in Kentucky. The Santa Barbara Handicap Grade 2 went to Capital Plan, who was bred by Madeline Pickens and the Diamond A Racing Corporation over in Woodford County. The Coolmore Lexington Stakes out at Keeneland, and the winner of that was All Squared Away, who is by Bellamy Road, stands over Windstar Farm, and he was bred by Gracefield Breeders. The Ben Ally Stakes, also out of Keeneland, Grade 3, was Wise Dan. Set a new track record that day, too. He was bred by Morton Fink. And moving right along, the Hilliard Lions Double Dog Dare Stakes at Keeneland, Grade 3. Pack Attack won that. He's by Pulpit, or she is by Pulpit, I should say. Was bred by Dapple Broodmares. The Giants Causeway Stakes at Keeneland winner, Flash Mash, was bred by Stone Street Thoroughbred Holdings. That's, let's see, the Goldfinch Stakes out of Prairie Meadows. Tapajo won that, bred by Dr. Johnny Griggs and Linda Griggs over in half their farms in Bourbon Counties, half in Fayette. I wonder if they have to pay taxes in both places. The Golden Circle Stakes at, where in the hell did they run that? Well, that was at Prairie Meadows also. And the winner of that was bred by, if I can find it, if I can pronounce it, I should have said, Yanagawa Stud. Don't know that one.
Sounds like Indian name.
Yes, it might be. The Dahlia Stakes at Pimlico winner, Idle Talk, was bred by Chuck and Stacy Dyer. Let's see what else have we got here. That may about wrap it up. Okay, it was a pretty good weekend for Kentucky Breds. What do you got, Jackie?
I've got some announcements. You've got?
I got, yeah, let me do this and I'll get it to top it off. I've got to take my good friends over at Spendthrift Farm and Steve Anderson, too. Well, the two fastest buyer speed ratings ever recorded by Son of the Great Tisnauer were both turned in by the same horse, Tisway. His buyer for the Grade 1 Metropolitan Mile was a 113. His time, 1:32.4, one of the fastest dirt miles ever recorded. Then he registered a 111 buyer the day he won the Grade 1 Whitney over what was arguably the best field of old horses assembled in 2011. And there's more. Ran a mile 1:34.2 to win the Grade 2 Kelso. A mile 1:34 at Aqueduct. The same track where he sprinted 7 furlongs in 1:22.2. And he got a mile 1:34 at Belmont. Tisway is the big horse by the big horse sire. In addition to being by Hall of Famer Tisnow, Tisway has a pedigree which offers a 5x5 cross and a 4x5 cross to Northern Dancer and a 5x4 cross to Intensely. And he's a direct tail male descendant of the great man of war, generally considered to be the greatest runner of the 20th century. Its greatness abounds in the pedigree. Tisway. He's standing his first season at stud for $25,000, doing a full stanza nurses at Spendthrift Farm. Inquiries to Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Sean Fell or Ned Toffin. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at Brisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, spring's here, though they wouldn't know it by the weather, and now's a great time to take a good look at Equine Savings Program. It's a great program. And take a look at that program for your next equipment purchases. Equine Savings Program is easy to use, saves you up to 28% off commercial mowing equipment from industry leaders like Toro and Exmark. 28%, that's a big savings. You can reach Equine Savings at 502-863-6000. I'll give you that number again before at the end of this spot here. And toll free at 877-905-004. Or log on to the website. It's an easy one, equinesavings.com. Equine Savings has a simple pricing program. There's one straightforward price for everybody. No coupons, no hassles. Just the best mowers at the best prices. And Equine Savings offers these products to members of all breeds and disciplines. So if you're in the horse business, they want to hear from you. Equine Savings also offers excellent products with great savings from farmpaint.com. We just use their product to paint our fences at home. It's great. Arborco Organic Pest Control features the predator flies that take care of those nuisance flies that we all like to get rid of. Commonwealth Technology for your copier and fax and scanner needs. Equine Savings, it's locally owned. That's Steve Anderson. He's a nice fella. And they give back to the industry. They some proportion of the money that they make or anything goes to the TRA and TOBA. And they also give you the best value for your hard-earned dollar. Call, give them a call. I'm going to give you those numbers now. They'll answer the phone 7 days a week. It's 502-863-6000 locally or 877-905-0004. So Equine Savings now, no coupons, no dues, no hassles, just real savings. EquineSavings.com. All right, Jackie, we got 4 minutes.
Okay.
I'll go run a mile.
Right. Downhill.
It better be the straight drop.
Okay. Are you ready for me to finish this up?
Go ahead.
Okay, May 12th. This is what's coming up, Masterson Station out on what? Leestown. Yeah, I forgot the name. Anyway, May 12th is the Sayers School Horse Show, May 16th to the 20th. Bluegrass Classic Sheepdog Trial, Keeneland Pony Club, June 2 to 8, and the Bluegrass Pony Club, 10th through the 13th. June 6th starts Summer Bird Dressage. They got a lot of stuff going on. We're so lucky to have that here. TOBA is having May 3rd ownership seminar at the Derby Museum, and coming back here June 1st through the 3rd, a breeding clinic here in Lexington, toba.org, toba.org, or 276-2291. Central Kentucky Riding for Hope has all kind of stuff going on. Derby Day, second annual Derby Day Fun Day, and horseback games, hat contests. All the riders get their pictures taken. In the Winter Circle, that's May the 5th. June the 2nd, CKRH Horse Show. It's a participant horse show. I'll find out more about that. And Special Olympics is coming back to the horse park September 29th. Kentucky Dressage Association Spring Warm-Up KDA 26th Annual Dressage Show CDI. Star, star, star. That's all a very important code if you're into that stuff. It's May 24th, 27th, like I said, at the horse park. If your trailer needs repair, who's best to do it? Sally Vans, because that's what they do for a living and do quite well. Also, they are having shuttles.
They haul a few horses.
They have shuttles going to Churchill Downs. Give them a call if you're in over there. Valley High Show Stables, first summer camp, June 18th, 22nd, geared to beginner and intermediate rider. And if it wasn't a bunch of six-year-olds, I'd go. Okay, as I've said, the Sportsman Challenge this year at High Hope is Ladies Sportswoman's Challenge. Race entry deadline was Friday, but I think if you call Lady Riders Only, sport-type horses, fox hunters, venters, hunter jumpers, la, la, la. It's a mile, costs $500 to get in, and that's because you get a sponsor, and they'll give you sponsor attire, saddle pads, trophies, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, get a hold of Mark McEntee to 621-1604. Masterson, May 19th, Spring Civilian Equestrian Sensory Clinic. That's the Mounted Police in Lexington will have a clinic where they teach your horse not to spook at stuff. And that's a whole lot to do with the rider
boom. All right. We've had 36 winners so far this month in the Thoroughbred Center. And since last week's show, the following trainers have saddled winners. And that would be Dan Pitts, Josh Sines, Tommy Mills, Ted Lucas, Tommy Short, Paul Garcia, Mike Cameron, Matt Frazier, and John Langemeyer. Congratulations to those gentlemen, and we'll talk to you all next week, and we can see, pick this up where? On the internet somewhere.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ursulellis, ercellis.com.
I know how to spell it. Talk to you all next week.